Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. It's Friday. I always feel like this these days. Got through another week, guys. Just waiting for normal life to resume. Just getting through the weeks as they go. I know we've got a lot more freedoms, but I think it's one's going to be really, really aware of the lack of freedoms that people think they've got right now as we do actually head into more of the summer. Euros kicking off tonight. England playing Croatia on Sunday afternoon. You think, brilliant. Off to the pub, big party. You see those wonderful images, don't you, of people, you know, just crowds and crowds of people then throwing their pints in the air when England scores. No, none of that. If you're at a pub, you know, rule of six, sitting at a table, no singing allowed, no standing allowed. I mean, you know, is it the same thing? Well, we're talking about that a little bit later on and whether or not we are going to ever see the end of lockdown. And of course, G7 Summit as well. And joining me for all the chat today, as regularly on a Friday, is comedian Dave Chawner. Good morning to you.
Good morning to
now,
you.
A little birdie tells me that that cheery voice is masking something of a bleary-eyed head, but for a very good reason. What were you doing last night?
I was back gigging. I've been so lucky. It's genuinely, in the past 7 days, I've done 8 gigs, which has been
amazing.
Brilliant.
In what sort of circumstances? Have you got sort of, I'm not insulting you as a comedian, I'm talking about social distancing rules, 4 people sitting separately wearing masks and sitting in silence at the back. How's it working?
I tell you what, last night we had 60 people in, which was a 130 capacity, but obviously it sold out with social distancing. And then I'm down in Brighton and I was up in Birmingham. Yeah, it's been lovely. And you know what? People want it to work, so it does. They're easier gigs, if I'm honest.
People are like, I'll laugh at anything. just let me out of the house. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. I'm delighted to hear that. I was fascinated, actually, to read that nightclub owners who are threatening to open on the 21st of June, no matter what, that sort of, you know, at 1 minute past midnight, starting club nights at 1 minute past midnight. Oh, I remember those days. But, you know, whatever happens, I mean, people are just so desperate to get back to normal life. Well, I think it's about half half now. I think the country's now split half half. People who just, shouldn't be doing anything other than going to the supermarket or the park. And the rest of us going, oh, for goodness sake, let's get on with it. We'll get on to the G7 summit in a moment. But I do want to talk about what is happening in terms of end of lockdown. It's gone from like a 2-week delay to possibly a 4-week delay. It looks like that is the debate that's going on in number 10 and what the Prime Minister is going to decide this weekend. On Monday, he's going to announce, that's the 14th, where we're going to be on the 21st of June. We know for sure that weddings are going to be normalised-ish, as in you can not have a limited number of guests, it's more than 30. Although, of course, you still can't, and dancing is frowned upon and you have to wear masks. So, frankly, it's still not the fun wedding that you would have thought it would be. And socially distanced tables will limit numbers anyway. I don't know how many venues can have everyone 2 metres apart and have a couple hundred people in. But we're told the key issue here is, you know, we could have come out except for the fact we've got this Indian variant. Professor Neil Ferguson, remember him, everybody. Boo, hiss. He's now reckons that the Indian variant is now 60% transmissible. Matt Hancock, a couple of days ago, I mean, literally a few days ago, was saying it was 40% more transmissible than the Kent variant. We know the Kent variant was more transmissible. It's became the most dominant variant around many parts of the world. Kent variant is the most the Indian variant is now the most dominant variant here in the UK. But we're told that, you know, cases are going to surge. We're going to get a third wave. It's going to be bigger possibly than the January wave. But if that doesn't lead to more people being hospitalised and it doesn't lead to deaths, does it really matter?
Well, I think this is the point. And does it really matter what Boris says about the 21st of June? Because I think psychologically, everyone's got that in their mind. They're going to go out and party. And the truth of the matter is that, look, there is a risk that cases will rise because there is a risk in every aspect of life. Yeah. It's just about what is a reasonable risk. There's a risk when you cross the
and
road.
You've been very, you know, you say you lost a lot, you know, a parent to COVID. You've followed all the rules. You know, your job has been absolutely massively hit by this. But you're just saying, yeah, I'm done now.
Yeah, I think I'm getting to that point, especially with the vaccine being touted out as this is it. This is the golden key.
And we know that this vaccine does work. Okay, double vaccine does work on the new variant, but this is the latest new variant. There'll be another one coming along. Don't you worry. Just like, you know, just like buses, you can always guarantee. But this is the thing. It's, you know, there are predictions, you know, we're going to have more people even going to hospital. But the NHS chiefs are now, there are two notable things that have happened this week. One is Chris Hobson from NHS Providers, who's been a real cheerleader for lockdowns. We had a few, you know, Barneys over the last year. And he said that, look, hospitals can cope with this wave because it's younger people. They're not really needing much treatment. They're not going on ICU ventilators. They're coming in for a couple of days for oxygen and then they're going home again. It's not an issue. The NHS can cope. And I think that's partly because they're really aware you've got more than 5 million people on NHS waiting lists. You cannot be so basically shutting hospitals down again. But also, the NHS England has now required that hospitals, when they say they've got COVID patients, they have to actually distinguish between people who have COVID are being treated for COVID because that's why they're in hospital, and people who are in hospital and have been tested because everyone who goes into hospital is tested and have COVID, but they're being treated for a broken leg or for a heart attack or whatever it is, and they also happen to test positive for COVID. It's been a year. People like me have been asking for a year. Can you tell us how many people are being treated with COVID and people who just happen to have COVID? And I mean, some of the people who supposedly are COVID patients in hospital right now, I mean, they're not even ill with it. It just, they happen to have tested positive. So that would change the figures an awful lot, because if that's people who aren't ill, then the figures won't look so scary. And that would make it easier to open up. But I thought those were two quite interesting changes from senior NHS figures.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift in mindset. And I think it's a long time coming because, you know, I don't think that the Delta variant, as we're also calling it, is not going to be the last one. This is like that film franchise, The Fast and the Furious. They always promise that the next one is going to be bigger. But actually, I think that people are not even bored of it. I think people are changing their mindset towards it. We're not going to get rid of this. Yep. We're not going to reach zero. We've got to live with this.
And again, this is what Witty and Valance were saying last spring. I mean, this is the extraordinary thing. I mean, one of the things that really frustrates me is things that Boris Johnson has said in the past. We are still, even with this highly transmissible variant, without everybody who's supposedly at risk, even people my age apparently highly at risk who haven't had their double jab yet, again, why haven't you booked your double jab, guys? You know, get on with it. But we're told, you know, there are all these risks and cases going up. We are still in a better place than the best case scenario predicted by any of the models that Sage was using, and you know, that's with this highly transmissible variant. We didn't have any of the rises after March the 8th, April the 12th that were being predicted. A lot of this rise isn't, if you look at the dates of where it's happening and why, you know, where it's happening around the country, unlikely to be as a result of unlocking on May the 17th. But back on 13th of April, the day after that big step where you actually, you know, pubs reopening outdoors and the like, the Prime Minister said, "As we unlock, the result will inevitably be that we will see more infections. Sadly, we will see more hospitalizations and deaths, and people have just got to understand that. At the moment, I can't see any reason for us to change the roadmap to deviate from the targets that we've set ourselves." So they were predicting that. We didn't see more hospitalizations or more deaths at all in that period. And now we're seeing some more, well below the best, not the worst, but the best case scenarios. So why is there even a question mark about unlocking? Is it just that the government has now decided we can't cope with any deaths at all?
Well, I think that is a concern that I've heard people talk about, you know, getting absolutely COVID free. And that's just never going to happen. And I do feel that that mindset has absolutely got to be shifted.
Yeah.
And also the government have played its hand. What else? Because, you know, it's always about like, you know, yeah, we've got to get on top of this and then we'll get to the summer. We've got to get on top of this and then we'll get to Christmas. Got to get on top of this. We'll get to the vaccine. There's nothing else that we can play now.
But that's it. We're as safe as we're going to be, other than them insisting that, you know, every newborn baby is vaccinated within seconds of being born. I'm sorry. Not gonna happen on my watch. But I mean, this is the thing. It's like, this is it, guys. We've got the double jab. If you want to have the double jab, you can have had the double jab. If you're low risk, if you're in your 20s and you're high risk, you've already had the double jab because you were on the list long before even I got on the list at 53. So, I mean, something like 20% of 20-year-olds have already been jabbed. So because, you know, they're high risk, overweight or whatever. So I'm sorry. I don't see why we can't open on the 21st absolutely fully. And they could just say, by the way, you know, if you're waiting for your second jab, you probably want to be a bit more careful. You know, why would the rest of us have to wait? Because those people can't be asked to go and get their second jab.
I put a fiver on it because I'm not earning loads of money at the moment, but I put a fiver on it that when it comes to the end of July, that's when we'll start talking about booster and going into lockdown because people haven't had their boosters.
Matt Hancock yesterday at the Health Select Committee defending himself against Dominic Cummings, and again on every single issue. I mean, just it wasn't good. PPE shortages, oh, there weren't any care homes and seeding of No, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't us. It was the staff bringing it in. I mean, everything he was saying. But he was asked, you know, what have you got? You know, if the variants basically do actually escape, if we get a new one that escapes the vaccine, what have we got? And he was talking about, you know, 100 days to develop a new vaccine to tackle a new variant, and asked, well, what else would you do? And basically, you know, we're going to go back into lockdown. I mean, this is. I don't know why people don't get this. I've realised this since last May. This is it forever until we say, no, we will accept a certain level of deaths in return for freedom, because we accept a certain level of deaths in every other area of life in return for our freedom.
On the plus side, cheaper Christmas.
Don't have to buy gifts to people you don't see. You make it very good.
Agree more.
Dave, always makes things better. Thank you so much. We are going to talk about the G7 summit and Bring Your Wife to Work Day. 6:45 is the time. This is Talk Radio.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.